look, it's the end of the world, right? As we know it anyways. But listen, you don't have to be a pig just because it's the end of the world. Yes, you don't have to squeeze into a bathing suit this summer. Good for you. But the fact of the matter is you need to be healthy if you want to survive the coronavirus, okay? NTT Nutrition can do that for you. It's good food, it's good for you, and it's delivered right to your door. You can't go to the grocery store. This is a perfect time to try NTT Fitness and NTT Nutrition. And if you use my code LEVELUP15, you can get 15% off your first order. NTTFitness.com, LEVELUP15. Let's start the show.
Beach, drive, drop, car, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi, first time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, asshole. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you are listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3... 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Coons. Welcome back to the program. Available 24-7, 365 over at HMBRadio.com. You can reach me by telephone with a voice or text message at 813-693-2124. Email thehomemadebroadcast at RadioSaintPete.com. I hope you're well, still staying healthy. I would assume we're still here, still kicking, most of us. Everybody's mad we don't live in a utopia where everything is perfect and nobody dies. If only that were reality. Unfortunately, utopias devolve into dystopia very, very quickly because that's the rule of nature. Is that the fourth rule of thermodynamics? I think one of the rules. It's one of the rules. If you look it up, you can find it. So everybody's pissed off, fighting. Should we go back to work? Open the economy? Should we stay locked in our house? I think we should stay locked in our house. I think we should. I think that's the safest way to go, the safest way to be. Unfortunately, it's totally unrealistic and unreasonable. If we really want to beat the virus, we have to stay in our homes. And that means no grocery store. You know, what are you going to do about food? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But we got to stay in our house in order to completely get rid of this virus. And it's so weird how this has become a totally partisan issue of where you stand on this thing. If you want to go back to work, if you think that we should probably open the economy back up, you're probably Republican. And if you believe that we should stay locked down, you are a Democrat. Which I don't understand. You know, I've talked about it before, but I'm still, you know, my mind is blown that even at the end of the world as we know it, in a situation where thousands of people are dying, we're still playing politics with this thing. It seems like we should have an easy answer, which is follow what the CDC guidelines are for something like this. And we don't. We still fight, and, you know, everybody knows what to do. Everybody's got an opinion on what to do. I have an opinion on what we should do, which is I think that you do a cost-benefit analysis, figure out which is worse. Do you want to starve or do you want to run a fever and maybe drown yourself in your own fluids? And none of them are good options, by the way. They're both bad. This is a negative any way you slice it. And I wish we could get past this bullcrap, but we can't. It's just the same old fighting with one another. And, oh my God, Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, do not get on Twitter. It's fun, but you have to have, I think you have to have a certain personality type. You have to be kind of a masochist in order to enjoy it. I do, mostly, which follow me over there if you are on Twitter at @home_made_man. And I mostly, it's just for fun. It's just, you know, I know what the deal is. I know where everybody sits and where everybody stands with this stuff. So I try to inject some humor into these situations. I'm, you know, like I said, I have my opinions. I have my biases. And I know that for to be true. So I'm not trying to change anybody's mind. That's the thing. You're not going to change anybody's mind on Twitter. What do you, I mean, sending an article to somebody does nothing. What a complete waste of time. That is a bigger waste of time than tweeting at the president in a reply. I don't know what those people get out of it. It's like throwing a penny in a wishing well is more useful than tweeting at real Donald Trump and calling him an ass. He knows he's an ass. But you get, I guess you get the few hearts and you feel better, like your opinion is vindicated. I got a couple friends like this who just, everything he tweets, people are dying. Do you know that? Yes, he does. But if only their person, their team was in power, none of this would happen. You know, Joe Biden caught some flack because he called Donald Trump a racist when he shut down travel with China originally and then came out in support of that policy a few months later. It would have been too late. People are giving Joe Biden flack for that. Like, see, if Joe Biden were in power, more would be dead. Hundreds of thousands would be dead. Yeah, maybe. But you know what? I think he would have done the exact same thing. I think he would have shut down travel with China. If it really came down to it, it's just playing politics here. The CDC said, hey, man, you should probably... His advisor over there, hey, you should probably stop travel just to be safe right now. And I'm sure they would have said that to Biden or Trump or Hillary or whoever. Now, the Joe Biden wouldn't have been called a racist if he did that. That's the difference. But he still probably would have done it. Can't read people's minds, but that calling people racist thing is, that's just politics. It's the worst thing you can be in the world. And everybody goes, and it works because it stops the argument and strike. No, I'm not. It goes from that. It goes from the argument to, no, I'm not. Yeah, you are. Uh-uh. And then you just get off topic, and it's nonsense. It's a waste of time. So I don't know what we should do. We should probably do just a basic cost-benefit analysis and figure out what's worse. People potentially rioting, and, you know, if people can't get food, they're going to go get food for their family one way or another. So are you prepared to put the National Guard up at supermarkets and potentially shoot civilians? That doesn't sound like a good option either. So the answer is everybody's wrong and everybody's right. And we need to do something kind of in between with those things. I think. That's just my opinion. And I don't know anything. And I'm so glad I don't have to make these decisions. My God, can you imagine? Oh, what a nightmare that would be. I don't know why anybody wants that job. If you want that job, something's wrong with you. If you want that job of making those decisions, you should not have that job. It's too creepy, too weird, too much pressure. The city of St. Petersburg this week named their commission for reopening the city. And it's a unique list. Mayor Rick Kreisman on Friday released the names of 16 advisors he will lean on to decide when and how to reopen the city for business. The list includes city and transportation officials, a school board member, business and developmental people, 3 doctors, and the president of a hospital. It also includes the publisher of a local blog. Yes, that's true. And I would like to volunteer my services if Mayor Kreisman needs any help and he needs a podcaster /radio personality on the task force, I am willing and able to serve, sir. I don't think he will. The mayor said he will be talking with advisors on a one-on-one basis in accordance with social distancing orders and guidelines. You also receive input from the St. Petersburg City Council, who will continue to engage with members and residents moving forward. Here is a complete list of the team. Dr. David Berman, pediatric infectious disease specialist. Johns Hopkins, that's good. Olga Boof, executive director, Keep St. Pete Local. I don't like her. I have a history with her. Do not like her. But that's neither here nor there. Maybe she has some input on, I don't know what or how, but I guess she works with local businesses and stuff, so maybe, I guess she could be of assistance. Amber Boulding, City of St. Petersburg Emergency Management Manager. John Collins, Executive Director, the St. Petersburg Arts Alliance. Duggan Cooley, which is a great name, CEO of the Pinellas Community Foundation. J.P. Duberk, President and CEO of the Greater St. Petersburg Area Economic Development Corporation. Dexter Fabian, publisher of iLoveTheBurg.com. Renee Flowers, Pinellas County School Board member. Reverend Watson Hayes, President and CEO of the Pinellas County Urban League. Dr. Mona Mangat, member and post board chair, Doctors for America. Jason Mathis, CEO of the St. Petersburg Downtown Partnership. Brad Miller, CEO of the Pinellas Suncoast Transit Authority. Scott Smith, President, St. Anthony's Hospital. Chris Steinecker, President and CEO of the St. Petersburg Chamber of Commerce. Kanika Tomlin, City Administrator and Deputy Mayor. Michael Vivo, owner, Corp Fitness Works. And Dr. Israel Wojanowicz, Physician, Family Medicine at Bayfront Medical Group. And again, I am available. Need any help, you know, you got I Love the Berg and Keep St. Pete Local there. If HMB Radio can be of any assistance, I'm happy to give my opinion. God knows I have them, and I'd love to share them and yell them at people and tell you why mine are better than yours. So, Kreisman, Mr. K, Mr. Mayor, we used to be buds. He unfollowed me on Twitter, which hurt my feelings, but I also understand, but I'm available and willing to serve my community.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioStPete.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by Truvi Salon and Spa, baby. Oh, hell yeppers. Truvi Salon and Spa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in good old St. Petersburg. They are closed right now because we got a social distance. But when they come back, you're going to need it. You're desperately going to need it. That is going to be a business that is going to boom. As soon as we open back up here, man, the barbers and salons, those are going to be just raking it in. I'm figuring out how the hell I'm going to cut my own hair right now, and it's not going to be good. It's a bad idea. Don't do it. Do not do it. Not worth it. You're going to make yourself look like a jackass. But I guess it would encourage you to continue to social distance. So maybe you should go ahead and do it. You know, trim your eyebrows. Why not? Keep you in the house. So anyway, when Truvi Salon and Spa gets back, I need you to go there and get a haircut. She's going to do a great job. And I believe you can buy gift certificates on their website over there, TruviSalonAndSpa.com. That's a good investment, a good gift opportunity. Are there any holidays coming up? Doesn't matter right now. Oh, if you know a healthcare worker. There you go. Say thank you. Go make yourself pretty. TruvySalonAndSpa.com. Boy, what a few weeks for the Buccaneers, man. Holy crap. You know, first they signed Tom Brady, the greatest to ever play American football, 6-time Super Bowl champion. They got signed him to be our new quarterback, replacing Jameis Winston, who still doesn't have a team, by the way, which I think that has to do with the virus, and they probably want to get through the draft because you can't get a physical. I know he had knee surgery over the season, so do wish Jameis well. I enjoyed watching him play. I also hated watching him play. It was a 50-50 split between the two, but I do wish him well, and I know he just gave him and Titus O'Neil gave $50,000 to feeding Tampa Bay, which was really awesome. So thanks, Jameis, and still doing good in the community, even though we stabbed him in the back and got Tom Brady. His attitude was pretty good, though. He was like, you know, if I'm going to get replaced, I'm glad it's by Tom Brady. You know, that's a good way of looking at it, I suppose. But, yeah, the Bucs signed Tom Brady, And shortly after that, who comes out of retirement? Rob Gronkowski, perhaps the greatest tight end ever to play the game. And he's a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. The Bucs traded for him, and I believe they got a fourth-round pick in return for him. And we pick up his one-year, $10 million contract, and he's going to be playing football at Raymond James Stadium with Tom Brady. It's unbelievable. I'm very excited, as I'm sure most Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans are. There's this, almost like this, like you're waiting for the hammer to come down, though. You're that nail, and it's going to come down. Like, my fear is that we're just not going to have a season because of this coronavirus. And that is, please God, no. We can't. We only have Tom for 2 years. And I heard some rumors, too, about, I saw a tweet, and it was, okay, we got Brady for 2 years. The Green Bay Packers just drafted their quarterback of the future in the first round, Jordan Love from Utah. So then we get Aaron Rodgers after that. That'd be okay with me. Just keep, you know, plug and playing these old-timers into the end of their career. That would be great. I'd love that. But we got Tom Brady for 2 years. We got Coach Arians for 2 years, and we'll probably have Gronk for 2 years. So that's a small window. And we went in the draft, and we got a offensive tackle from Iowa, Tristan Wirfs, who was very highly touted, perhaps the most skilled tackle in the draft, most biggest athlete. He ran like a 4.8 or something in the 40-yard dash, which is insane. He's like 6'3", 300-something pounds. He is one of the strongest guys at the combine. He was like clean and jerking 450 pounds or something like that, something ridiculous. Of course, he's got some things he's got to work on, but they all do. Coming out, they're still kids, and hopefully they get coached up. And he's going to be our new probably starting right tackle. And we had to get somebody to protect that old geezer. That is our quarterback now. Still very talented, but, you know, he's getting up there, so we got to keep him upright. So that was a priority, to get somebody to keep him standing up, keep his jersey clean. And they went out and did that, and I'm pretty excited about it. It looks like a really good player. I saw him jump out of a pool, like he was in the pool and with water in it, and he jumped out of the pool. It was amazing. I saw Todd Gurley do this years ago, and he's a running back, though. And seeing an offensive tackle do this, that just blew my mind. So I was like, yeah, this guy's probably going to be pretty good. He's got all the tools in the world to succeed. So let's see if the Buccaneers can coach him up, and hopefully he'll be our right tackle for a long time. That would be cool. I'm going to play an interview from his press conference with local media here, and yeah, you could just kind of get to know him a little bit. So let's check out this small interview with new right tackle Tristan Wirfs.
All right. With that, we can start taking questions. We'll open with Rick Stroud.
Hey, Tristan. Just wanted to ask you your reaction to being drafted by the Bucs. And I know this was a special night for you and your mom. We saw you roll out the red carpet. Talk about that and just the moment you were able to share with your mom.
Yeah, you know, it was a pretty special moment, you know, when your phone starts vibrating, it kind of just, you get this like wave of, you know, excitement and fear and, you know, all these emotions. And then the red carpet, that was a pretty special deal. You know, we just tried giving her, a night kind of like Las Vegas. It's obviously not, you know, near as fancy, or we're not dressed up or nothing, but just rolled the red carpet out on our front lawn. But it was still, you know, trying to make it special for her.
Okay. Next up, we have Greg Allman.
Tristan, I want to ask you, obviously this is a huge night for you no matter what, but how cool is it to not only be going to the NFL, but to be going to the NFL and knowing you'll be blocking for Tom Brady in a couple months?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think about, you know, because Tom Brady's been in the league since 2000. I was born in 1999, so he's been in the league almost as long as I've been alive. So it's pretty, you know, it's pretty cool, you know, get to protect him.
Okay, next up we have Zach Maskevich.
Tristan, first of all, congratulations on getting drafted tonight. My question for you, I asked Jason and Bruce this. You know, what did they tell you on the phone, and what was your reaction when they called you and told you you were going to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer?
You know, that's pretty much what they told me. You know, Coach Arians, he said, you know, we just traded with San Francisco. He's like, you're going to be a Buccaneer. And I was just, you know, just it's kind of like a culmination of, you know, all the hard work and blood, sweat, and tears, and everything, you know, coming together, and it's just a big wave of emotion. You know, it was incredible.
Okay, next up we have Matt Matera from Peter Report.
Hey, Tristan, congrats on getting drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I was just curious, throughout this whole process, was there anyone that gave you advice or maybe that you leaned on during this whole process that kind of got you to this point today?
You know, I think Coach Ferentz, he always just kept telling me, you know, keep working hard, never lose that mindset or that mentality. So that's what I've been trying to do. You know, it's been different, you know, with this whole, you know, virus thing going around. But I've been lucky enough to have access to a gym. So that's been nice. You know, it keeps me busy, you know, but just keep working hard. You know, that's all you can do.
Okay. Next up we have Greg Aumann.
Kristen, just want to ask you what you think your strengths are as an offensive lineman. Obviously, we all saw how well you ran at the combine. We know your athleticism. What else do you think are what you do best as a tackle?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm a pretty powerful guy. I think I come off line of scrimmage, you know, pretty quick. I know I can pull and get out in space well, and I think I get up to the second level pretty fast.
All right, next up we have David Harrison.
Tristan, congratulations on being drafted by the Buccaneers, first off. Coming into the NFL draft, you know, every year a lot of guys who've already been drafted share their thoughts heading into the night. And I've seen some today talk about how it's more important where you get drafted, not which spot you get drafted in. Coach Arians has already talked about how he kind of feels like the coaching you received in Iowa is a great fit for you coming to Tampa. Coming into the draft experience, how did you feel you fit with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And were you more concerned about that scheme fit versus draft position? Or how did you come into the night anticipating where you might go?
I think I came into the night pretty, you know, calm and collected. You know, coming from Iowa, you know, we run a pretty pro-style offense. And I know when I was at the combine, you know, hearing all the verbiage that teams were using, you know, for defense, you know, for fronts and play calls, you know, pretty similar to what I was taught and what I heard at Iowa. So I just felt like, you know, wherever I went, I was going to, you know, come ready to work. You know, that's kind of the mentality that's instilled into you at Iowa. And I'm going to be coming from, you know, like you said, a great coaching staff who knows like a pro style offense. So I was just excited to see where I'd end up and get ready to go.
Okay. Next up we have Zach Maskovich, and we got time for one more after that.
Tristan, during the pre-draft process, how much interaction did you have with the Bucs and maybe with some other teams that were really talking to you before you were picked tonight?
Yeah, I had one Zoom call with the Bucs. I thought it went pretty good. You know, I think I had a total of nine or ten Zoom calls.
All right, for the last one, we're going for Greg Aumann.
Yeah, hey Tristan, you kind of have a coincidence that you're going to a stadium you've played in before. You were in Tampa for the Outback Bowl, big win for Iowa a year ago. What do you remember of that game? What was it like playing there?
Yeah, playing in Raymond James, it's a pretty awesome stadium. Yeah, I love the ship they got. You know, what is that, the south end zone or something like that, with a big boat. But, you know, I love that game. I got to block Montez Sweat playing against Mississippi State. That was a great game, you know, coming out of there with a W. I remember I was so hyped up about it. It was incredible.
What do you think about the pick? 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com, the homemade broadcast at radiostpete.com, home_made_man on Twitter and Instagram, and HMB Radio on Facebook. I want to hear, what do you think about the pick? I don't see how you could dislike it. It's something we desperately need. And I think it's going to be great. I'm looking forward so much to the football season. Finally, I think when I say this year's going to be different, I think it's going to be different. There's been some comparisons to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Cleveland Browns of last year, where they got all this talent that came in and underperformed vastly. Now, the difference there, I think it's an unfair comparison because the Bucs have Tom Brady. He's a proven quarterback. He's the best to ever play the game. The Browns had a second-year upstart, rookie, pretty much. And they had a coach that, you know, he's been around the league a long time, Freddie Kitchens, but nothing stellar. Bruce Arians has quite the resume, though. I mean, so I think it's a little different. It's an unfair comparison. You know, the Buccaneers with the signing of Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, I think, are top five. They're like the fifth, the odds as far as going to the Super Bowl now. They're in the top five, tied with the Saints You know, so it's pretty exciting. We'll see what happens. 813-693-2124.
You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
All right, finally this week, before I get the hell out of here, I want to talk quickly about the corporate press and it being the enemy of the people. Yeah, and I know that's a hot-bedded issue with a lot of folks. It's something that the president says a lot, and it's an alarm bell for people. They freak out when they say that. And I don't really feel like Jim Acosta or the press at the briefings challenging the president is enemy of the people type of behavior. But when they attack people, citizens, when the press does that, that's enemy of the people like behavior. And this is a good example out of Jacksonville. Jacksonville Beach is open this week, and it drew a lot of criticism from people all over the country, and especially the New York Times. They just did not like this at all. And now keep in mind, New York has its own problems. New York is the epicenter of this whole thing. 50% of the cases come from New York. They still have their parks open. Central Park is open. You can go run in the park if you want to. You can go walk around. Their subways are still open. That is a main contributor to all this. You're packed inside a little tiny subway car spreading this virus around. I also understand New York's a little different. I don't know. Again, I don't know what the answer is for this stuff, but man, the New York Times going after a southern state because they don't like them doing this stuff. It's just, don't you have your own problems to worry about? The beaches had been closed to help prevent the spread of COVID-19, but Mayor Lenny Curry reopened the beaches for exercise after data showed the curve was flattening in the county. Publications like the Washington Post, CBS News, the New York Times, CNN, Fox News, and USA Today were critical of people flocking to the beaches, saying beachgoers were ignoring the social distancing guidelines and the restrictions Mayor Lenny Curry put up in place for the beach's partial reopening. Some photos appear to show the latter is true, but other images show sparse beaches with only groups not larger than 10 people breaking the 6-foot distancing guideline. In a social media post, WJXT reporter and anchor Vic Michelucci explained how the camera lenses capture depth differently. 8 photos taken during approximately the same time and near the same stretch in the sand demonstrate how beaches can appear crowded in one image, while a picture of the same scene captured with a different camera makes the crowd appear thinner and more spaced out. On Twitter, Major Lenny Curry responded to coverage by national media outlets saying he believed that some of the national reports were politically motivated. On Twitter, April 19th, Lenny Curry says, "Political agendas during COVID-19 are irresponsible and disgraceful. Leaders at every level in Florida are working together to keep our counties, cities, and state safe while we are collaborating and making decisions with data and judgment calls on how our citizens are impacted. Some national media will not divide us," blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I mean, he's right. He's absolutely right. They don't like it because this is a southern state with a Republican governor, and it's something they can use against to prove that their agenda and their narrative is the correct one. And they use these damn pictures, and they're false. It's fake. It's literally fake news. It is the definition of fake news. And I know even the governor of Georgia is talking about reopening this week some hair salons and tattoo parlors and things like that. And I guess even the president came out and said, "Yeah, I don't like it. I don't think he should do it." But he also goes, "Georgia's. You know, he's the governor of that state, so he's got to make decisions for Georgia." And I guess somebody has to be the canary in a coal mine. So we'll see what happens. You know, if they have a huge outbreak again, then, you know, okay, well, shouldn't have done that. That was a bad move. But somebody has to make the move. And it's funny, too, because Colorado are doing the same thing this week. Same timeline. And you don't hear anything about that. And why is that? And it's because the governor of Colorado has a D next to his name. Let's just be honest here. I mean, that's what it's about. So, I mean, I'm sorry, but these people are dicks, and you shouldn't listen to them because they're lying to you. And people that do listen to them, they're just getting their confirmation bias. This is exactly what I thought. I mean, so this is going to divide us more than ever. Eventually, it's going to come to a head. I don't know how, but I hope it's just an online civil war and doesn't turn into a hot civil war. But I'm going to go ahead and leave it there for the week. I hope you have a fantastic freaking pandemic vacay work from home fiesta. I hope you're enjoying it. I hope you're doing okay. I hope you're not struggling too bad. And everything's going to be okay. How do I know that? I don't, but I believe it. I hope you have a great week. Tune in to Stay Woke weeknights at midnight on 102.5 The Bone. Here in Tampa Bay, thebononline.com. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next if you're listening on Radio St. Pete, followed by the Indie Circuit. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. See you later.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.